The scripture reading this morning will come from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. My son, if you receive my words and my treasure, and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God.
A few weeks ago, we began a series and study within the book of Proverbs. And we got through chapter 1, and I believe last week, Sunday morning, we kind of got a sample of chapter 2 in a Bible class setting, outlining it ourselves and making some application. But this morning, what I'd like to do is take time to go through the entire chapter and look at the benefits of wisdom. Chapter 1. In our study there, we looked at the introduction to wisdom. Chapter 1 is an introduction to not just wisdom, but as well as knowledge and prudence. We notice this in chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, the origin of knowledge, to know wisdom, to discern, to receive, to give, all of these things, to do all these things, and not only to do them for ourselves, but to give them to others, such as to the naive, and to the youth, and to the wise men. And the only way we can do this and receive this knowledge and even give knowledge out to others is if we first fear the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction, chapter 1 and verse 7. And then Solomon would go into verses 8 through 19, the heeding of prudence. It's interesting how in the discussion of prudence, he would say, my son. He would say, hear my son, your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teachings. He says, if you want to succeed in life, listen, do, apply. Specifically, the wisdom and instruction of your parents, that is, godly parents. And then he would close the chapter out by talking about wisdom and the speech that she has. Wisdom is in the streets calling out to those, to everybody. It has no, it shows no favoritism or partiality to anybody. But when those who hear them reject her, she says, I'm going to laugh at you on the day of judgment. And that's where chapter 2 comes in. Solomon says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then. We're going to be focusing on the then side, really, of this chapter. We'll make some note of an application of verses 1 through 4. But if you're reading this proverb, make sure to read Proverbs chapter 2 along with Proverbs chapter 1, because it's a continuation of what was just discussed. Remember, how does he refer to wisdom and treasure my commandments within you? Make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart and understanding, and notice this, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver, well, if you look at the speech of wisdom in verse 20 of chapter 1, it says, wisdom shouts in the streets. She lifts her voice in the square. It's interesting how easy it is to obtain wisdom, but so many people reject it. But even though it's easy to get and easy to receive and even listen to, because it's out in the streets yelling and calling out to you, Solomon says you still need to search her out like treasure. Even though it's easy to obtain her, chapter 2, because she is calling out in the streets wanting you to listen to her, you need to treat her and search her out like treasure and find gold. Hunt her down And once you find her, don't let her go. In verses 1 through 6 of chapter 2, looking at the benefits, this idea of the benefits of wisdom. Verses 1 to 6, Solomon will say that one of the very first benefits of wisdom, if you're able to obtain her while she is in the streets calling out to you, chapter 1, it will sanctify you. Wisdom will sanctify you. Verses 7 and 9, it will secure you. Not only will it sanctify you, that is, set apart and keep you holy, but it will secure you. He would also say in verses 10 through 11, it will satisfy you. If you look in chapter 1, he says, heed and do not neglect the teachings of your father and your mother. Do not listen to those who say, we will go out and abuse and murder and steal and set traps. They're trying to find satisfaction. He would say in chapter 2, this is where you find true satisfaction, not in the world, well, those who set traps and murder themselves, but you'll find satisfaction, true satisfaction in wisdom, verses 10 through 11. And then he would say in verses 12 to 22, not only will it satisfy you and secure you and sanctify you, but it will save you. The wisdom of God will save you from yourself, really. And so what we're going to do with the time that we have, we're going to try and get through this chapter. If not, that's fine. We can conclude it this evening. But we're going to take our time going through Proverbs chapter 2 and looking at the benefits of wisdom. In verses 1 through 6, we see that it will satisfy you. Look at verses 1 through 6. We already read verses 1 through 4, so let's pick up in verse 5. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth, or from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. If you are studying with somebody concerning how God talks to us today and how he relays his message to his creation in today's age, going to Proverbs chapter 2 would be an amazing passage to go to. Of course, there are many others that would need attention as well and some time, because as is mentioned in the New Testament, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, perfect, lacking nothing, equipped for every good work. The Word of God is perfect. It's lacking nothing. It's where we find how to do and how to live and what to say and what not to do, how to do all of these things correctly according to God's law, that is, law of liberty. Well, of course, we know that under the days of Moses and Abraham and even during the times of the apostles at certain occasions, that God would directly talk to them and give them revelation. Hebrews discusses this in Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 and following. In times past, in many different ways and diverse manners, God talked to us through the prophets and through angels and through different means, but now talks to us through his Son, Jesus the Christ. Well, if you look in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, you see God talking to King Solomon. Well, one who is about to be king, if not already king in this context. And it says that, paraphrasing here, God had talked to him and says in verse 8, and Solomon said to God, you have dealt with my father David with great faithfulness and have made me king in his place. Well, the previous statement from God to Solomon is, ask anything you want and I will give it to you. Notice what King Solomon asks for. Now, Lord God, your promise to my father David is fulfilled, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Now, give me wisdom and knowledge so that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can rule this great people of yours? Solomon sought out wisdom and knowledge, and he got it. He understands how this works. If you seek, you shall find. Jesus tells us that in the New Testament under the law of liberty. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. If you just search it out, you will receive it. And I understand that God in times past talked and gave messages in certain ways that he does not do today. There is a reason for that. It is because that which is perfect has come, that is the Scriptures. If you read this in light, not of God talking directly, if you search him out, he'll directly talk to you. That's not what this text is talking about. What this text is discussing is if you seek out the wisdom of God, God will give you wisdom and discernment. Not miraculously, because he's already given it to us. All we need to do is search it out. Now let's keep reading. We are to treasure wisdom, or wisdom's instructions, and learn to fear the Lord. Verses 1 through 4, there is a series of conditions. If you do this, if you do this. Solomon says, it's worth searching for. Wisdom is worth searching it. If you do this, then, verse 5 and 6, you shall receive. If you are diligent in searching for the truth, God will give you wisdom and discernment. That is the Word of God. It's interesting how in the New Testament, we already made mention of 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But notice, we haven't gotten to the point yet, I don't want to get ahead, but notice one of the benefits of wisdom, it will sanctify you and it will save you. Well, it's interesting in John chapter 17, verse 17, that Jesus in his high priestly prayer would say, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. Well, sanctify them, set them apart, and guess what else saves according to the New Testament? The Word. The Word saves us. The Word tells us what we need to do in order to be saved, but it's not going to just save us once we read it. Notice what we have to do. We have to seek it out. We have to apply it. We have to obey it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, Jesus says. Matthew 7 and verse 7, in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he would say to the great multitude, specifically the apostles that he's preaching to, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be open. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, under many different dispensations, three to be exact, God has made it clear, if you seek me out, you will find me. I am making it easy for you to find me. I am literally in the streets calling you out, chapter 1. But if you do your part, then you will receive the benefits. Simply hearing the wisdom isn't going to save us. We have to seek it out and apply it and keep it within our hearts and live it out. Now notice this. If, my son, verse 1, you receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, verse 3, verse 4, if you seek her as silver, there's three different ifs explicitly said here. Notice this, verse 5, then you will what? There's four different things, really, that are made mention here that if we seek out wisdom and knowledge and treasure her, then we will receive four things. Verse 5, we will have the understanding of God. We will have understanding of the Lord. Verse 5. Also within verse 5, we will find the knowledge of God. Before we get to the last two, notice understanding and knowledge of God. Where do we find those things? Well, in the mind of God. How can we find the understanding and knowledge of Jehovah? He has literally given us his mind to search out and understand. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that if you read through the Scriptures, you will know everything there is to know about Jehovah God, because in Deuteronomy, it explicitly says the secret things belong to God. So there are things that about God we will never know because we don't have the authority or the right to know. And perhaps even if we did know, we would probably implode. But Jesus says you can know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In that passage in Deuteronomy, it says the secret things belong to God, but the things that belong to us. Moses says there are things that belong to us that God has revealed to us. It is for us, and for our children and for us to teach the next generations to come. Notice in chapter 2 the language, my son. He's teaching the next generation about the things that belong to us concerning God. If you seek out God and his wisdom and his mind and knowledge and treat him and his knowledge and wisdom like treasure, then you will receive an understanding of God. You'll receive the knowledge of God. You will be given wisdom from God. Verse 6, notice in the book of James, we see how to get wisdom. If we are struggling, notice what James doesn't say. Don't pray for patience. That's not what we're to pray for. We are to pray for wisdom so that patience can then have its perfect work. We gain patience through understanding wisdom. How do we obtain wisdom, James? We've got to go to the Word of God. And then verse 6, God gives knowledge and discernment. He gives discernment. How to, you know, there are some people in this world who say we can't understand it because it's the mind of God. We can't understand it. It's too complex. We were made in the image of God, and we were not made idiots. We were made with intelligent minds to discern, to rightly divide the scriptures according to what God says we need to do. God has given us a level of intelligence, and he says, I want you to use the intelligence that I gave you to discern and rightly divide, to rightly interpret the scriptures, so that in doing so, you can have my knowledge, you can have my wisdom, you can have my understanding, and you can know how to be saved. Wisdom is really could be described as a pearl that should never be overlooked and should be treasured after one who obtains it. When we learn wisdom, we need to apply it to our lives and cherish it for as long as we live. At least that's what Solomon tells his son. Do not let it go. Seek it out, obtain it, and hold on to it for as long as you possibly can. And it's interesting how even in the New Testament, Jesus would echo these teachings. Matthew chapter 13 and verses 44 and 45. I want you to turn there with me. It's two very, very short parables concerning the kingdom of God. It says, and Matthew chapter 13 and verses 44 and following. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now notice the second one. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. You know, there's a key theme here in these parables concerning the kingdom of God. It is a treasure. It is worth selling all that you have to obtain. And there are those who are actively seeking it out. It's interesting how Jesus would also say, just a few chapters before in Matthew chapter 6, we've already referenced it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open. Jesus is very clear. It's open for the taking. It is open for everybody. Wisdom does not show favoritism. God does not show favoritism. With his wisdom, he offers it to all. But the wisdom, the kingdom of God, is like a treasure, like a pearl. It must be sought out. It must be bought. You must sell everything you have in order to get it. And it's pretty interesting how this echoes even into the history of the church in Acts chapter 2. When it says that when they became Christians and were added to the Lord's church, daily, such as should be saved by God, Acts 2:47, they went and sold all that they had and gave to those who had need. Even though they weren't selling what they had and bought the church, they sold what they had and gave to the church. They not only sold their physical possessions, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter says, you need to repent. and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Essentially, what Peter says is you need to be a living sacrifice. You need to sell all that you have spiritually. Really, you don't have anything spiritually. You're spiritually destitute, according to Jesus the Christ in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You're bankrupt spiritually. So what you need to do is give up everything so that you can then have everything in heaven. Solomon understands this principle because he sought it out himself. Even though he was not a perfect man, he was not prudent at times and he sinned. He said, knowledge and wisdom is valuable. It must be sought out. You must buy it. You must do everything you can to obtain it. Look at it like a treasure, my son. And if you obtain it, you will receive something so great that you can't purchase it with money. You will receive the mind of God. If we seek out wisdom, guess what we're going to receive if we're diligent and honest with a good and receptive heart? We will receive the mind of God. And by receiving the mind of God, we have the rest of this lesson. It will secure you. Number two, the wisdom of God, the mind of God, will secure you. Verses 7 through 9. Excuse me. It says, let's actually start in verse 5. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. Something that I wish we really had time to do, and we'll probably make mention of it here. There is a specific flow and pattern to which you find, obtain, realize, and then receive from God. You seek out the wisdom of God, verses 1 through 4. Then you will discern the mind of God, verses 5 and 6. Because verse 6 and 7, God gives, he stores up, he is a shield guarding the paths of, and then verse 9, because God does these things for the godly ones, you will discern righteousness and justice and equity for every good course. There is a pattern and flow to this that we must follow. Now, with that being said, let's look at verses 7 and 8. 7 through 9, one of the benefits of wisdom is that it will secure you. Well, verses 7 and 8, specifically, how it will secure you is that it is a shield and a guard. Notice, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. The wisdom of God, that is, for the upright, because fools despise wisdom and instruction, so they're not going to receive this benefit. It shields the individual from the wicked influence of the world, so that they may walk in integrity. Here is a good cross-reference for this application. Psalm 119:11. Thy word hath I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You also have the very first psalm, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in what? The law, the wisdom of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He puts time and attention to it. He sought it out. He sees it as treasure. And even in Psalm 1, you see what happens when you meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. You receive benefits, do you not? You are like a tree planted by streams of water, and whatever you do, you prosper. If you seek out the law of the Lord, the law of the Lord, that is God's word, will secure you by guarding and shielding you from the world. But the only way you can do that is if you keep it in your heart. And I don't mean hide it to where you don't share it with others. I mean, you take that which is bad out and you put that which is good in, and you keep it there. And that's what shields and guards from the world, or as Paul would say, Satan's fiery darts, literally javelins being hurled at you. Not only does God give pure and undefiled wisdom to those who search him out, but he defends, guards, and shields those who receive it. Psalm 3:3, but you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory and the one who lifts my head. And then you have verse 9. That was just verses 7 and 8. Look at verse 9. Knowledge of every right course, literally right path. We already made mention and reference this passage, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. But that passage is a good thesis verse for all of the book of Proverbs. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We already listed these things for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. What is right, what is not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. In righteousness, what is right, that which is morally right. By receiving the word of God, we will know every right path, every right form of action, how to go about it the right way. Righteousness, that which is right, good, or honest. Justice or judgment, some translations. Dispute, claims, accusations, measures, or even law. Equity, that which is fair, impartial, level in all things, and equity. Well, we've already made mention of that. Psalm 119:105, thy word hath I hid in my heart. If we keep it in our heart, which by the way is the soil, Mark 4, and the word is the seed, and we plant this seed in our hearts, guess what's going to produce? The word of God. One preacher put it this way. The word of God, that is the seed, only produces Christians and produces the only Christians. If we seek out wisdom and we find the mind of God, we can discern what is right and know how to go about things the right way. That's why there are so many passages concerning self-control, anger, the tongue, watch what you do, watch what you say, because the way of man is not in himself. Mankind cannot conjure up that which is right within himself because he is human. If we try to go about things our way, we're not going to know the right path. Jesus had to tell us, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. How can we know which one is the right path? By going to the Word. And who is the Word? Jesus the Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 of John 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. If we seek Christ out, if we seek wisdom and his word out, we can know the right path. Let's see here. What we're going to do is, because I don't want to rush this, we're going to put a pin here right in the middle of the chapter, and we're going to come back in verse 10, and we will discuss what another benefit of wisdom is, which is to satisfy us. The word of God, the wisdom of God, ultimately does satisfy us, the true satisfaction, not that which the world has to offer, which is fleeting and only but for a moment. But what we can do is reflect on the wisdom of God that we have discussed this morning. The wisdom of God will sanctify you, and it will secure you. How? How can the word of God sanctify and secure? Well, we already made mention of John chapter 17 and verse 17, the high priestly prayer. Jesus praying for you and for me asks God the Father, Lord, sanctify them with truth. Your word is truth. How can I be secure and be sanctified? I have to be in the truth. Well, there's so many different truths out there. How do I know which one it is? Search it out. Try it. Test every spirit there is, and if it doesn't line up with the one truth, then it's not it. But if you see that, wow, this is lining up perfectly with Scripture, then you have found the truth. Well, how do I know that the Bible is the truth? Well, one preacher put it this way. The Bible is an anvil that has worn out many hammers. The Bible has withstood test and time. God would even say, my kingdom is not of this world. Kingdom shall rise and kingdom shall fall, but my word and my kingdom shall not pass away. There is evidence upon evidence, overwhelming amount of evidence that shows that God is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. And it is in the truth that we can be sanctified. Well, how do I get into the truth then? Well, as Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except by me. How do I get into Christ? Well, I'm glad you asked. You have Romans chapter 6. You must be born again. You must be dead to self, but alive in Christ. Jesus would talk about this in John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, what does it mean to believe? Well, look back in the chapter. Unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot inherit nor see the kingdom of God. You've got to be baptized for the remission of your sins after you repent. Peter says, repent and be baptized. Repent, change your ways. And if you change your ways, then you can be added to the Lord's church by being buried in a watery grave of baptism. Not a removal of dirt from the flesh, Peter says, but of a good conscience with God through the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. Perhaps you've already done this. You're thinking, preacher, I've heard this time and time again. I've already done that. Well, maybe you're in a spot where you have, like the Galatians, fallen from grace. And you need prayers for strength, and you need to come back home and ask for forgiveness. Whatever the case may be, I beg and plead that you come now. Together we stand, and as we sing.